From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Ready with your Crestview number, Mr. Dollar.
Good.
Yeah?
Mr. Parsons?
Who's this?
Johnny Dollar.
What are you doing in town?
Still looking for your son, Mr. Parsons.
You met him yesterday. He's been found. He wasn't lost. So
I met the man you hired to convince me that he was your son. I know he isn't.
Listen, if you're going to make trouble...
I will if I have to. I have that guy's signature on two papers in my briefcase. It constitutes a witness forgery, no matter how you look at it. I'd be willing to call up a lawyer and see what kind of noise I can make.
What do you want?
I'll be out to tell you in 20 minutes.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Eastern Casualty and Trust Company, number 25 Yardley Boulevard, Boston, Massachusetts. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Callicles matter. Expense account item 9, $100, legal retainer. I hired an attorney named Robert Watson to arrange for a court order impounding all the records in the Parsons brokerage house. I also turned over to him the forged reports. After that, I drove out to see Parsons, still laid up in bed.
Who spilled the beans?
You did, mainly. I didn't believe that guy here yesterday afternoon. I didn't believe the woman who was supposed to be his wife. So let it go at that. I'm here to find David Parsons, Jr. Let's stop playing games.
Don't get fresh with me, boy. I've crunched many a loud talker just like you.
You want me to walk out of here and start jamming up your works right now, or do you want to listen? You've botched up everything so far. Do I handle it, or do we keep on like this?
I'm going to kill you when I get on my feet.
In the meantime, you're going to lie there and like it. I came out here to find your son. You arranged to throw me off his trail by hiring a woman to play his wife and a man to appear and pretend he was your son. Let's take it from there. I understand you've had private detectives looking for him all over the country. What agency?
Universal Operators.
Who's in charge of it there?
A man named Underwood.
Have they got any leads?
Nothing. Nothing for 12 days.
Did he take anything?
I don't know. We haven't made an audit.
Well, there'll be an audit. I've got the machinery started right now.
Who do you think...
Shut up and lie down or you'll bust a blood vessel. Is Mrs. Parsons in town?
I sent her down to Palm Springs.
All right, it's 10:15 now. If I remember right, there's a plane from Palm Springs about noon. Call her there and tell her I'll be at her house at 2 o'clock. I want to talk to her.
Are you giving me orders?
I sure am. I want everybody in that household there. 2 o'clock, you arrange it.
I'll arrange nothing for you. Now get out of here.
Call who you have to call. 2 o'clock, Mr. Parsons. I left him fuming on the phone and drove my rented car downtown to the offices of Universal Operatives Incorporated. Mr. Underwood, the man in charge of finding David Parsons, Jr., shook my hand and told me he could report nothing to me about the case. I asked him to phone old man Parsons, which he did. That changed his mind. He broke down and gave me an hour-long story on what they'd done to locate the missing man. When he was finished, it came out the same way. They'd run into blank walls everywhere. They had no idea where David Parsons might be. I told Underwood he and his staff were fired and that Mr. Parsons would confirm it. I left him fuming on the phone. Expense account item 10, $4, two drinks and lunch all alone. After that, I drove over to the residence of David Parsons, Jr. Mrs. Parsons was a tall, graceful woman in her late 30s, settled on a sofa in front of the fireplace. The clothes she was wearing, the house itself, the appointments of the formal room, all suggested a well-run, well-kept sort of life.
I've answered so many questions from those private detectives.
I'm sorry to put you through it all again.
You must operate in a rather high-handed manner, Mr. Dollar. My father-in-law expressly told me the point here is not to let any of this get into the papers.
The point here is to find your husband, Mrs. Parsons. He's been missing 12 days now.
Well, I suppose I was the last one to see him. It was after dinner. He went upstairs. I didn't see him after that.
This would be...
The 13th. Yes, it was.
Did he sleep here that night?
His bed had been slept in, yes.
Then he really disappeared sometime on the 14th.
I suppose that's accurate. He wasn't in his office that day.
Did he take a car?
No. But I know the private detectives checked the cab companies.
He could have flagged one two blocks away. How about clothes? Did he pack anything?
Not a thing.
Money?
I don't know.
Okay. Can you think of any enemies who might want to harm your husband?
Enemies? Oh, dear, no.
Think a minute.
Well, perhaps in his office, in his business, there's someone. But he never discussed what went on there with me.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
It was a rule. This is our home. That is David's business. We just never talked about what went on in his office at all.
How long have you and Mr. Parsons been married?
18 years next July.
Have you been getting along?
Of course we've been getting along. We've gotten along always.
Ever discuss the probability of divorce or anything like that?
Certainly not.
Can you think of any reason why Mr. Parsons would just walk out and not come back?
None whatsoever.
Have the people in his office been worried about him?
Well, I believe Mr. Eckers is the only one who knows. The others think he's away on a business trip.
In other words, the whole thing's been kept quiet.
Oh, yes, of course. This merger situation is quite delicate. As you know,
Mrs. Parsons, were you very close to him?
I beg your pardon.
Don't beg my pardon. Just answer the question. Everybody seems to be worried about a merger, not about a man. Did you spend time together, do things together?
Well, of course. We entertained frequently. We traveled. We had common interests.
What?
Home, of course.
What else?
I don't know what you mean.
Did you enjoy each other? Go out together. Have fun.
Oh, really?
Did he have a hobby?
Well, yes, sort of. David liked to read and write a little. He fancied himself a scholar along some lines.
What lines?
Oh, literature. Of course, it was just an indulgence.
Where did he indulge himself?
He had a small study upstairs.
Would it be possible to look at that room?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
All right, I'll get to that in a minute. Mr. Parson, drink very much?
Cocktails before dinner, maybe two or three after.
Ever any long drinking jobs on the town?
David never went off and drank, if that's what you're trying to find out.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to find out. Is he in good health?
Yes. Perfect, I think.
What's the name of his doctor?
Stanley Warner, Dr. Warner.
Okay. How about his attitude?
What do you mean?
What kind of man is he? Quiet, loud, what?
Oh, I'd say David is, and always has been, a very quiet person.
Like his work?
Of course, he loves it.
His home?
I'm terribly afraid there's a great deal of insinuation in these questions you ask, Mr. Dollar.
What have you been doing in Palm Springs?
Resting.
Got a boyfriend?
Mr. Dollar.
Have you?
I resent that very much. Naturally, with my husband here, I go out with friends there. David knows about it.
He have a girlfriend?
You're being ridiculous.
No, you're being ridiculous.
What?
You sit here and describe the kind of association a man has with a drug clerk who sells him cigarettes, and you call it a marriage. Your husband disappears from the face of the earth, and you romp off to Palm Springs, forgetting all about it. You're insulted when I ask you what's wrong. You're hurt when I ask you how come, and you're annoyed when I mention it.
What on earth do you want me to do?
File a missing persons complaint right away. Get some help in here if it isn't too late.
Too late?
It could be, lady. It just could be you and your father-in-law have fooled around too long. She made the call. A half an hour later, two detectives from the Missing Persons Bureau were out here gathering facts. I tagged along. They questioned Mrs. Parsons, the servants. They examined the study as well as his bedroom. From all they could gather, David Parsons had nothing but the clothes on his back when he disappeared. By mid-afternoon, the police had started on old man Parsons and gone downtown to question the members of David Parsons' office force. The district attorney moved in quickly and negated my court order, impounding the books and records for a careful audit to determine if any money or bonds were missing. They promised to keep me informed. I went on my own.
Come in, please.
Dr. Stanley Warner had a four-suite office on Wilshire Boulevard. He was a big graying man who looked as though he played a lot of golf and drank a lot of whiskey when he had the chance. I told him about Parsons being missing and asked for some details.
Well, according to my records, I examined him the first of last month. He was in good health. Excellent for a man of his age and responsibility.
Could you explain that, Doctor?
No, I was thinking only by comparison. David Parsons is 40 years old. He's held a position of tremendous responsibility for many years. For a lesser man or for a frailer man, the incidence of organic disturbance in this age area increases considerably. David Parsons' case, that didn't seem to hold true.
Doctor, are you talking about the pressure from his father?
You know the old man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about that, yes. He cracked up a lot of people.
How do you suppose David Jr. escaped?
He knew how to escape, at least for periods of time, get a complete rest.
Was there any indication or any reason whatsoever when you examined him? to suspect that he might suffer from some sort of mental trouble?
No. I'd say that when I examined him, he was in excellent mental shape, too.
I see. Did you ever meet him outside the office?
Socially?
Yeah.
Yes. Both belonged to the same country club. Played golf with him several times. Seen him at dances, other affairs.
Mm-hmm. He and Mrs. Parsons strike you as a happy couple?
I'll answer that by saying that happiness is intangible. I envied him, though. Not because of his wife, you understand. But because with all the requirements that were made of him, he was still a gentle, decent man.
You ever appear with other women?
Not that I know of.
Did you ever have occasion to talk with him with his hair down?
Once. Startled me at first. I was aware that he was a man of education and culture, but I was quite taken aback by his ability to quote the classics. Seemed incongruous somehow. I remember this day we met in the club. We had a drink. I don't think anyone was there except the waiters. I was talking to him, and suddenly he dropped off the conversation. He stared ahead, and then he began to quote a Greek, Callicles.
Callicles?
Yes. I was so impressed by the passage, I took the trouble to look it up myself and write it down. I have it. Yes. Here. I can still see him quoting that word for word. Read it.
But if there were a man who had sufficient force, he would shake off and break through and escape from all this.
Go on, will you, please?
He would trample underfoot all our formulas and spells and charms and all our laws which are against nature. The slave would rise in rebellion and be lord over us. And the light of natural justice would shine forth. When did Parsons quote this to you, Doctor?
Monday. The day before he disappeared.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's final intriguing episode of this week's story.
The answer is with that old Greek who lived 3,000 years ago. Tomorrow we'll find it. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
David Parsons, did you read the morning paper?
Yep.
It's spread all over them. My son missing. I've had calls from New York all morning long. The business merger's jeopardized, and it's your doing.
Anything else to say?
When I finish with you and your liability company, there won't be enough left to burn for junk.
Mr. Parsons, before you shoot off any more steam, do you want me to give the papers the other half of the story? The one about you arranging for people to impersonate your son and his wife?
Are you threatening me?
I guess I am.
Why, you...
Bye.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Eastern Casualty and Trust Company, Boston, Massachusetts. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Callicles matter. Item 11, 10 cents, one newspaper. I lied to Parsons about seeing the paper. I hadn't seen it at all. But I could guess what had happened when they got hold of the story that a prominent broker had been missing some 14 days. It was all there, spread over the front page. I waited a couple of hours before I took old man Parsons on again.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you?
You should have given this matter to the police in the first place.
I gave it to a detective agency. And what do you mean by firing them?
Oh, they were just spending your money.
And you're losing it for me with all this in the paper.
I'm still trying to find your son, Mr. Parsons, remember?
You aren't going to find him here.
Something's come up. Maybe you can explain it. The DA's office impounded the books yesterday. $5,000 was withdrawn from your son's personal account.
What do I have to explain about that?
Wait. It was taken out the morning he disappeared. Do you have any idea why he'd withdraw a sum of money that size?
No. Do you?
Sure. Somebody could have been standing in back of him with a gun, threatening to blow his head off. He might have had a date to go to a wedding and needed some tip money. What can you add?
You're getting mad, Dollar. Go find your answers someplace else.
You don't care if he's ever located, do you?
Dollar, let me tell you something. My son means that to me. No more. He's never had brains enough or energy enough to do anything by himself. I do everything. Always have. The only reason I want him back is to effect the merger with Little and Tennyson. You knew that right away.
I suppose so. I just wanted to hear it said to believe it.
Well, now you've heard me say it. You know, one reason why I always run the show, Dollar. My face never looks like yours over anything.
I got out of there fast. I went downtown with a tall policeman named Jerry Engel to interview a bank teller.
I'm Sergeant Engel. This is Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes, you phoned me. It's about Mr. Parsons.
You took care of him when he came in here last Tuesday, a week ago, is that right?
I handled the withdrawal, yes.
We'd like to see the slip on that, please.
Yes, I looked it up. I have it ready for you.
Have you known Mr. Parsons very long?
Well, I don't know him well, really.
Look at this picture. This man is the same who signed the withdrawal slip last Tuesday morning?
Yes, that's Mr. Parsons.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Well, he just came up to the cage and handed me the withdrawal slip, that's all.
I see. Weren't you a little surprised when he made out a withdrawal slip for $5,000? That's a lot of money.
Well, maybe I was a little surprised, but Mr. Parsons has withdrawn large sums from his personal account several times. I always assumed it was some sort of speculation where he needed cash on hand.
When he came up to the cage to you, what exactly did he say?
Oh, just good morning or something like that, and then will you please take care of this?
Didn't he stipulate how he wanted the money?
Oh, yes, yes, he did say that. I'm sorry. He took it mostly in hundreds and fifties.
Any of these bills happen to be recorded?
No, Sergeant.
Anything else you can remember about the transaction that might help?
Sorry, nothing. Well, maybe.
Yeah?
Well, you both know the kind of business Mr. Parsons is in. I mean, well, it seems like a hurried sort of business. Always phone calls, rushing, and so on. He was always like that, it seemed to me. He'd come in here, do what he had to do, and rush out. Very brisk, you know. But that morning, he didn't seem in a hurry at all when he left. I mean, I had the distinct feeling that Mr. Parsons didn't particularly care in what direction he went.
A recheck with Mrs. Parsons and the house servants established that Parsons had not left the house with the described money bag. The police went to work on that angle, trying to find out where he had purchased it. A supplementary bulletin went out with the news about the bag. The district attorney's men were trying to find out if he was involved with another woman, and if so, who. Parsons was reported to be in Toledo, Detroit, the Virgin Islands, and Boston. All the reports were untrue.
Yeah, officer, that's him. That's the guy who was in here that night.
You sure?
Well, I'm positive that's his picture.
Was he with anybody?
No, he was all alone. He sat over there on that stool.
How long was he here?
Oh, he was here till we closed the joint.
Did you happen to see where he went from here?
No.
And what kind of shape was he in? Drunk?
No, no, he was real sober and quiet. Drank all night, but he seemed to hold himself okay.
Did you talk to him at all?
No, just took his order for drinks. He didn't seem to want to talk to anybody.
I see.
Did you happen to notice if anybody who was in here went over and talked to him?
I think a couple of people tried. You know, you get that sort of thing in a joint like this. But he didn't say much to any of them, so they just left him alone.
He just sat alone and drank?
No, he was making a phone call all the time. He was here, a long-distance call from the booth over there. He sat at the end of the bar so he could hear the phone ring.
How do you know he was making a long-distance call?
Well, he handed me a 20 once and asked me to change it to quarters for him. All the quarters I had.
About what time was this?
I don't know exactly, but it took him 2 or 3 hours anyway.
Do you know if he ever completed his call?
He poured a lot of dough into the phone. I guess he did, finally.
Did he have anything with him while he was here?
What do you mean?
Was he carrying a little black bag, maybe?
Yeah, nothing but his overcoat.
What?
He did say something to me at that. He asked me if I knew Callicles.
Callicles?
Yes, Sergeant. He was about 3 bourbons along by then.
Mean anything?
I've heard about that before, Jerry. Callicles was a Greek. Parsons quoted him to his doctor once. Something about a man breaking through and shaking off his chains. A pretty piece of poetry.
Poet? I thought he was a bookie. Oh, excuse me.
Well, Jerry, one thing for sure.
Yeah, what?
We know he was alive that night. Jerry Engel started a check for the telephone company. Their records disclosed that David Parsons had placed a call from the pay booth in the bar on the night in question. It had been a person-to-person call to a Kenneth Temple in San Francisco. We tried to place a call to the same number, but there was no answer. We waited another 2 hours trying to complete the call, and the operators were still trying when we drove out to the Parsons residence once more. Mrs. Parsons gave us a cool greeting.
I certainly don't appreciate any of this. You're responsible, Mr. Dollar, for all this publicity.
We don't have to go into that, Mrs. Parsons. We need your help now.
We found out that your husband called a man named Kenneth Temple in San Francisco the night he disappeared.
Oh?
That name, Kenneth Temple, does it mean anything to you?
No, I've never heard it before.
Mr. Parsons never mentioned it to you?
Well, I can't say for certain, but it's not familiar to me at the moment.
Have you ever been to San Francisco?
Yes.
When?
Twice. Going to and coming back from Hawaii 2 years ago.
Has Mr. Parsons ever been in San Francisco?
He was on the same trip.
This name, Temple, maybe it was someone you met while you were there.
No, I don't recall meeting anyone there at all. Sergeant.
Yes?
All this has been quite upsetting, quite nerve-wracking, really. I don't know what progress you people are making, but I do wish it would all be handled soon. Excuse me, please.
Sure. This isn't getting us very far.
I don't get it.
Hello? Who? Oh, yes, operator. Just a moment. It's for you, Sergeant.
Oh, thanks. Probably San Francisco operator. Thank you. This is Sergeant Engel. Yeah? Oh, hello, Mr. Temple. This is Sergeant Engel, Missing Persons Division, Los Angeles Police. We're trying to locate a man named David Parsons. Huh? All right. He's there now. Huh? I'm going to put him on.
David? Well, let me talk to him.
Just a minute. Is that an extension?
Oh, yes. Please.
I'll get it.
Let me talk.
Hold it a minute. Miss Parsons? I've been pretty worried about you. Yes? Yes, she's all right. She's right here.
Okay, Mrs. Parsons. Here, take it.
David?
How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, David. When are you coming home? Your father and I have been...
I read about it in the papers. Now, I want you to listen to me, Dorothy. Dad's going to ask you, so listen.
But...
Listen to me.
I'm listening, David.
Do you remember all the times that I've asked you to talk to me? The times during these years when I've wanted companionship, warmth, a home that was lived in? Each time I asked for these things, you were always too busy, too taken up with things outside my life. Do you remember all that?
Yes, David, I remember all that.
Well, this is the end of you and me.
But your father...
It's the end of father and me, too, Dorothy. You tell him that. He probably won't believe it, but you tell him the merger's all his. He'll have to get another figurehead.
Why, he'd be so angry.
Dorothy, what I'm trying to say is his anger doesn't worry me anymore.
Well, what about me?
I never worried you.
But David...
I'm going away. A long sea voyage with Temple. You don't remember him, but he was a sailor I used to talk to aboard ship when we went to Hawaii. He has a boat now. I'm shipping on it.
Well, when will you be back?
I won't be back.
David!
Now, will you put that police officer on?
Hello, Mr. Parsons.
Who's that?
My name's Johnny Dollar. I've been trying to find you for 2 weeks. I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh.
I found out quite a lot about you. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right man.
I won't answer a lot of questions.
Just one. It's not even a question. Callicles.
Oh.
Mean anything?
I don't know who you are. I didn't even get your name, but you did find out. If there were a man who had sufficient force, he would shake off and break through and escape from all this. He would trample underfoot all our formulas and spells and charms and all our laws which are against nature. The slave would rise in rebellion and be lord over us.
So far as the police were concerned, there was nothing more to do. So far as the insurance company's concerned, we'll have to sit on a $100,000 bond and hope that David Parsons will return to his life in Los Angeles when he gets whatever it is out of his system. Expense account total, $1,100.59. Remarks? Just Mrs. Parsons, to me. She asked why he never talked about this to her. I told her he did. No one ever listened. She didn't understand that either. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, one of the most heartless, most vicious rackets an insurance investigator ever had to face. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, Harry Bartell, Lillian Byeth, Will Wright, Gene Bates, Carlton Young, Lawrence Dobkin, Bert Holland, Marvin Miller, and Herb Vigran. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.